Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Oh, you want more?
More.
Oh, this good?
More.
Oh, wow, that was extreme.
More. Edging with Tucker and Maura.
This is probably my favorite new song right now. You know, you have like that song you hear and you're like, I love that song, and you listen to it a bunch of times. This is it for me right now.
This is your jam.
I was playing it for a couple of buddies. Man, it's so hard these days to like sell people on music, but they both were right into this song.
Yeah.
I was at a cottage weekend and, you know, you kind of like inadvertently take turns playing music.
Sure.
On the Bluetooth speaker, and man, the thing with streaming now is that people, their musical tastes have really varied over the years. Used to be the crew of people you hung with all tended to like the same music, and you put on one playlist and it'd be the same as everybody else's playlist because you just had the CDs, you know?
Yes.
And then when like iTunes came around and then streaming, people started diving a little deeper. Napster, when you could start downloading stuff, and I mean, before, it was such a commitment to buy music.
It was.
100%.
You know, to drop $15-$20 on an album from somebody, you had to be, like, sold on them. Whereas now, I listen to all kinds of stuff I would never necessarily buy, but I'm happy to hear it from time to time, you know? But
So I could tell you liked that song a lot just by how long you let it play before you started talking. If it was a Bundus pick or my own pick, you would have been like, hey, this is the podcast. Welcome.
Way right down.
You think that's the way it would go?
There's something too. I will say, I really love hearing an accent come through musically. I love that.
The British attitude accent there.
Yeah, it reminds me a little bit of the guy from the Streets who used to sing with like, well, I mean, he still does. He raps with like, and you can always hear that accent. I fucking love that. Why? You know, it goes over so well. Because it's so different.
And what I appreciate is the ones that put on the fake British accent when they sing. That's
like
the best.
Avril Lavigne?
Does she do that?
Some people are accused her of that, yeah.
I never noticed that.
What moment? I think you can kind of hear it in Complicated.
Okay.
Really?
Yeah.
Ah.
What, you always gotta be so complicated?
Like, really? You think Avril Lavigne puts on a fake British accent?
In some of her songs, yeah.
Okay,
Let me think of what song.
Well, it can't be like one of my favorite jams, which is this one, which is a ballad from Avril Lavigne. Let me see.
No,
yeah, I'm not here.
Not there.
I mean, Complicated was the first big, like, hit song she had.
Might be on Complicated.
Yeah, I'm not hearing it there either. I mean, Skater Boy, would it be on that one?
Okay, I found a little blog here. It says, I generally don't care. I think, okay, so it's the worst example is Avril Lavigne adopted a British accent for 2 seconds and Complicated the line, strike a pose.
Strike a pose.
Yeah, but did she do that intentionally to like...
Strike a pose.
What part of that? Wow.
Strike a pose.
Okay, so we're going back to Complicated. Where does it say strike a pose?
Maybe in the middle.
See here.
Strike your pose.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, but I think she what she's doing is she's mocking the person who's come over to strike a pose. Yeah, strike a pose. Like she's when you strike your pose. I think she's just kind of having fun with the way she's saying it. I don't think she's trying to sound British.
Well, it happens where people don't even realize they're doing it.
Yeah, but two words, strike a pose, three words in a song. Yeah, I mean, if she was doing it in all her music.
It seeps through, okay? It just happens. Okay. I remember that there was that moment. Strike a pose.
You sound more British than Avril does on a day-to-day basis.
I sound Southern sometimes too. I've gotten that before.
Have you?
Mm-hmm. I've been watching a show. Where is it taking place? I can't remember, but somewhere in the States, Southern. And I find myself walking around the house talking with a Southern accent. I just love the way that sounds, you know?
It's very charming.
It's very charming.
It can be, but it can also sound just like racist and redneck and uneducated too. Like there's two different versions of that Southern accent. There's the you're from around here, you know, like where you think you're about to get robbed or something, and then you have the aristocracy of Georgia, and you know. I don't find it as charming for some reason.
Oh,
really? Oh. I don't know. I picture, what's her name? The blonde, Legally Blonde.
Renee Zellweger? No.
Reese Witherspoon.
Yes. Yeah, like her Southern charm, where she does in her movies and stuff. Like that kind of like, let's have a barbecue on the back, y'all. Yeah. You know? Like,
yeah, but then if you watch The Morning Show with Reese Witherspoon, when she's back there, she's from like trashy roots.
Yeah, sure.
Her whole family is like trailer park, legit. I think they actually live in a trailer park.
There's nothing wrong with a fabulous Southern trailer park, okay?
Okay.
There's nothing wrong with those vibes. I might live in a trailer if I live down south. I mean, it's warm enough.
My grandparents, when they retired, they lived between two trailers.
Yes.
One in Leamington, Ontario, and one in Clearwater Beach, Florida.
Smart people.
They were pretty happy with that arrangement. Yeah. I mean, when you have no kids and stuff, and you just really need a bed, and you want to be warm and in the winter and all that.
Jump on the road anytime you want. I get it. It makes sense to me.
By the way, I never mentioned that the artist we were listening to, who is in fact really British, and you can hear it in her music, is Ray, R-A-Y-E. And if you like that song, Escapism, it's worth going down a Ray rabbit hole. I have. I just pick up some vibes like Amy Winehouse, Edge, but obviously not the same style of singing.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, the fact that you can hear the Brit every now and then is kind of cool.
Love that. Yeah. Love that.
So welcome to another podcast. I was thinking about our show today and I was thinking about a story that Maura was talking about and how, like, I don't know how you've never told me that story before.
You haven't heard that story?
No.
I didn't know that.
That someone was like a peeping Tom and was spying on Maura and proceeded to talk to her through her bedroom window.
Yeah, that's wild.
That's, you know, the fact that, okay, there's one thing to be looking through someone's bedroom window when they're changing. It's another when they try and talk to you. That just brings the creep factor and the serial killer vibes up to like a 9 on 10.
And let me tell you something. When you realize like someone's been watching you for a while, you start running through your mind like, what if I've been doing?
Oh,
because I'm pretty sure I was dancing a little bit. You know, you're doing stuff, and you think that no one's watching. You're probably doing some weird stuff. You know,
if you missed a conversation on our radio show, we were talking about how did we even get on it? Peeping Tom situation.
Oh, you told your story about the guy who was peeking at you through the shower curtain.
Oh, yeah.
At the gym.
At the Good Life in London when I was living there. There was this like older dude who started off by like, when I was sitting beside him in the sauna, there was a bunch of people there. Mm-hmm. I happened to be beside him and he just decided to undo his towel and showcase everything he's got. And I was like, I feel like this guy's doing that intentionally to try and get my attention. So I just exited the situation and went and took my shower.
But obviously you have to wait. You don't get up right away.
Nah, like, pretty quick. It didn't take too long. I mean, what? Okay, so he unfolds his towel. I'm looking. Okay, now let's see. One Mississippi, two Mississippi, three Mississippi. probably about five Mississippis. And I'm like, yeah, it's about it for me. And I went out. And I mean, not that I can't be naked with somebody in a men's change room, but I could tell. You know, when your gut, you trust your gut.
Yes.
I could tell he was doing it for my benefit what he thought was my benefit.
He was sending you a vibe, yeah.
A signal.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like when they put up the bat signal in the sky, you know they want Batman to come. And this was like his bat signal.
Right.
His penis for other was guys, his bat signal.
I guess. I don't know.
It wasn't erect or anything. Like, no, no. Did you look at it?
No, I wasn't like,
That's so veiny.
Man, not bad for an old guy.
He was old too.
Yeah. He had to have been, my guess... I mean, this is going back years, but he had to be 60-ish, plus or minus 5 years, maybe. Mm. But yeah, no, he wasn't like, he didn't have a big bone or anything like that. But I did leave, and then I went and took a shower, and when I was all soaped up and doing my face and hair and everything, I noticed, I kind of just happened to look through the crack of the shower curtain, and he was bent over staring in at me. And that was a really weird situation because, you know, you tell me that now what I do, and I'd be like, oh, I'd go clobber him, you know. But in the moment, I just felt so vulnerable that and shocked and essentially almost like scared. Like I started getting this adrenaline through me, like, what's going on? Like it was crazy. And the most I did, which is probably the right thing to do, is I just let the management, like the people working there, know that there's this member who's checking out people in the change room. And I'm pretty sure I described the guy, and but they didn't take it seriously at that time.
They didn't even write it down. They're like, okay,
I'll just okay, perfect.
They kind of like almost laughed it off.
They kind of made it. They didn't take it seriously, and it almost seemed like they found it funny. But I can tell you, in that moment, I didn't find it funny.
You were angry.
I was angry that this guy was checking me out. And I'm sure you felt the same way when somebody's checking you out in your sub-basement apartment. Like that, it was a basement apartment that was like, three-quarters of it was below ground and then a little bit of it was above?
I actually found it a complete violation. I felt like super uncomfortable and immediately wondered what the hell I was doing that he was watching me to that extent.
So
like,
you're in your bedroom.
Yeah.
You're changing for bed.
That's right.
And you're it's in the summer because you have your window open.
Windows open in a semi-basement apartment. So the window, it was actually kind of like half and half. We got lots of light. That's one of the reasons I loved the apartment because it was cheaper because it was a basement. But we also had tons of light because the window was so big.
The window would have come up to where for somebody standing outside? Would it be above their waist, the window?
It would have almost been your shoulder, yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah. But this is in like a back section. I almost feel like it was kind of like a quad, if you will.
Like a courtyard or an
alleyway?
A courtyard,
yeah. Like you'd really have to know to go back there. You'd have to go back there and be a peeping Tom. Like there's no other reason that you would go back there. I'd never been back there personally myself.
So you didn't need to go back there for garbage or anything
no.
like that? So he's standing and he's able to just look straight in without having to crouch down or anything like that?
I'm sure if he wanted a really good view, he could have crouched down a little bit.
Okay.
And I got changed and I got into bed and he said, once I turned off the light and got into bed, he said, I really like your blue pant. I really like your blue panties. And I was like, oh my God. And instantly I felt fear.
And were you going to bed in just underwear or was that midway through changing into pajamas?
I think I was in bed in underwear and like a tank top.
Okay.
So I get under the blanket.
And he says that is it. I mean, the chills, right?
Yeah, I got chills and I got that feeling that I'd been violated and I wondered what I was doing that he saw.
He could have been out there for 20 minutes if you're in your room for that long.
Exactly, because I'm pretty sure I was walking around with a shirt off for a while trying to grab a tank top.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So that made me feel really uncomfortable. But the crazy part of the story is I had warned my roommate. I'm like, oh my God, the guy came by last night and said that through the window. And then sure enough, he did it to her.
Okay, I want to get back to your story for a second. Mm-hmm. So you now are lying in bed.
Yeah.
He said this to you.
Mm-hmm.
Your window's open to let air in, but you have like some kind of bars or something that would, in theory, prevent someone from like breaking in that way.
Mm-hmm.
How do you just stay in bed for the rest of the night and hope that he goes away?
Yes, this is in a time like where I didn't have a phone next to my head. We had like a landline and I wasn't going to get out of bed again to call the cops or something.
Okay.
Because then I would be exposed again. But I just remember hiding under my blankets and I heard him walk away. So then I realized I could relax.
And then what do you do at that moment? Do you remember, like, do you block the window with a bunch of stuff
so nobody can see it? I closed the window. I'm pretty sure I closed the window. But I didn't want to get out of bed again. I was afraid to get out of bed.
Yeah.
That he'd be looking. Yeah.
So you have this conversation with your roommate the next day?
The next day I have a conversation with my roommate that he had come by and he had done that and he had said something through the window. And I'm like, you know, just so you know. And he's like, she was like this freak, you know, she was worked up about it. And then a couple days later, it didn't take long. He did it to her. She got into bed. He said something to her and she lost it on him. She's like, what the fuck did you just say? You're a freak. What are you, like, she yelled at him. They were talking back and forth.
Are you in the place? Can you hear this?
No, I didn't hear this. So they were talking back and forth. Communicating. Somehow the conversation died down a bit from the yelling.
By the way, what happens next is 100% insane. I cannot understand the logic behind it at all.
She decided to say, why don't we meet around front, out like the front door of the building? And they kept talking out front, and then they went out for a drink together.
That's so fucked
up. They essentially went out on a date. She went out on a date with the guy. You
that's
know.
Insane, man. That's so wild.
That is how I want, like those murder documentaries that you watch on streaming services or whatever. That's how they start. You go off with a stranger, never to be seen again.
Yeah, but it's not even like that. It's like a movie where someone wrote this and people are watching it going, oh, well, that would never happen in real life. No one would leave with that guy after that.
Yeah, who in their right mind would like...
Who was this roommate?
Like, she was pretty sassy. She was pretty edgy, and she would have taken him to town at first, and she would have really yelled at him and called him out on it.
And then she went out on a date with him.
And then I don't know what happened. I mean, maybe she got the backstory. Maybe there was something going on there. Maybe she saw what he went through as a kid or something. I don't know. I don't know.
I don't know if there's really anything that can justify voyeurism, like on a stranger.
I'll give you an example of, you could maybe see if this would be a Peeping Tom scenario.
Okay.
Or if someone was just putting on a show. But when I first moved to Toronto in 2015, I rented a condo in a big complex called City Place. And there were units, like facing units, there were buildings all over the place.
Sure.
And this one morning, I happened to get up to get ready for work. Doing a morning show, so I was up super early, and I look across, and with all the lights on, in a bedroom, is a girl who's completely topless. All right? So now, in
how
that situation...
How far away is she from you, would you say? Like, I'm trying is she like an inch tall, or is she, like, can you actually see something?
Oh, no, you could see. Like, it wasn't like I woke up at 4 o'clock or 3:50, whatever time it was, and just started scouting out. Now, to be truthful, most places were dark at that hour.
Mm-hmm.
So you got, like, a condo building... That's all dark except for one set of lights. So naturally, you just kind of look over there as you're looking out to see what the day looks like.
Right.
And I could see her standing in the room. And she was completely topless, just doing stuff in her room. And, you know, when it's dark out and your room is light, it's like you're putting on a show.
Right.
In a sense.
Yes.
And I wasn't there with one of those giant telescopes or anything like that. You know, I could just see it.
Right.
Yeah. So am I a peeping, should I have averted my eyes or do I just kind of look and go, wow, she's like topless and she's doing her thing and doing her thing. And it probably lasted like a good 5 minutes and then kind of threw on a sweatshirt and then turned off the lights and then went in another part of the condo. And I was like, well, I guess the show's over, but she was still doing stuff.
I mean, if you sat there and watched it the whole time.
I mean, I was doing other things, but I was kind of keeping an eye on what was going on.
Oh, what's happening
You're
next?
You're telling me if I, over there, okay, where those chairs are.
Sure.
If somebody was standing there and they were topless, you don't think you would look at that?
I mean, I would look for sure. Would I sit there and watch until they were gone? Probably not.
I mean, I don't think I made popcorn and sat on the couch.
Well, you have to go to work.
But I mean, I was looking. I'm like, oh my God, that girl's naked. That's crazy.
Catches
and
your eye.
And then I'm like, you know, let me grab my snack for work and whatever. I'm like, you know, look over. She's still naked. Well, still doing her thing, you know?
I think the main difference, though, when you're talking about like a peeping Tom versus just like a natural, like, oh, look at that. Some boobs are out. Mm-hmm. Is if you're going to somebody's place, like you are actively leaving your house or whatever to go find a setup shop where a potential victim is.
Yeah, that's like full peeping Tom situation. Yeah. But you're saying voyeurism. What I did would probably fall into voyeurism where I was watching somebody who happened to be topless.
You get the binoculars out, then.
There was a this reminds me of a hotel in New York, the Standard, and they have them all over the place. But this one's over that High Line that you can go for a walk along. It's a really kind of popular tourist destination.
Okay.
Anyways, the Standard has no curtains, and it's completely overlooking the High Line. And people are buck naked in their hotel rooms. They're having sex. And I've stayed there. There's a sign on the window that says, just so you know, everyone can see you down on the High Line if you're naked and you're having sex.
Get off on that, though. I know people who do it. I have a friend who, used to like to have sex with his... At the time, it would have been his girlfriend in front of the window, which I'm sure is probably against the law if you know people can see you. I mean, you can't just put on a show in front of a piece of glass and expect that you're not like, hey, it's my place. I should be able to do what I want.
Yeah, if it's X-rated. You know?
But he liked that element of being on display and being in public. That's a fetish for some people, you know?
I mean, I've done it many times at my condo where, like, not necessarily up against the glass, you know, but, like, you can see into the place, like, especially because my place was a big open studio, right? So the bed is there. You can see what's going on in the bed. And, you know, in the heat of the moment, I'm not going to be like, oh, hold on one second. Let me go close the blinds. Like, sometimes you just get engaged, right?
He's got a fetish. He wants people to watch him have sex.
Stick it in.
Obviously, people would have had to have seen you over the years.
Probably.
How many people did you bring back to that place and that scenario unfold that way? I mean, more than you can remember, probably.
Sure.
Yeah.
Jeez, it'd be like watching Showcase on Friday nights. I get to just forget turning the TV on.
And it's probably like the same nights of the week, right? It's probably weekend nights, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, something
Somebody's
like that.
Somebody's got the binoculars out across
Buses
the way.
Without borders every weekend.
How close was the nearest window to your unit? Because it was two towers, right?
Yeah, and you were between the corner.
You were between the two?
So I had somebody like 6 feet away.
Oh.
Really?
Yeah.
What do you mean the corner?
Because like my balcony was at the corner with the adjacent building, so it was like a 90 degree angle.
Right. Oh. Where like an L would meet.
Yes.
Yeah.
So the person right beside me on the corner was like 10 feet away diagonally, like, or you know,
jeez.
They could see right in.
It is a fetish. Maura. He likes it. Yeah, I wonder in that scenario, if they called the cops, if you would be it's a tough one, to know that if that would be against the law. To have sex in public? Because I'll give you an example. Rogers Centre in Toronto has hotel rooms overlooking the baseball diamond.
Yes.
And I'm pretty sure you're not allowed to have sex in front of those windows. That's considered to be like... public nudity or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Wasn't there like a great one that was broadcast back in the 90s or something like that?
And
the commentator who had like a funny remark. I can't remember what it was, but... It was broadcast on the TV. Like
it's happened in the hotel room, but it's also happened just in the 500 level where people are getting it on, sitting in, you know, in seats.
It's crazy. You think people can't see you in certain instances. Like they can see you. They can see the fact that that couple in the 500s didn't. And I get why they thought they couldn't be seen because they were kind of pushed up against a wall almost.
Yeah, and she was sitting on his lap. It had like a jacket or something
like over top,
so you couldn't see any actual nudity, but you knew what was going on. The thing is, I bet you people didn't notice. It's the cameras that notice.
Yeah.
The cameras get right in on you, and they're constantly... fishing through the crowd because they got to throw stuff up.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's the Jumbotron camera, you know. I mean, I used to work for OHL hockey games, and I would go up into the booth, And they'd set presets on the camera. They'd be like, oh, that looks like a good couple. And they'd kind of like put it in a save button.
Oh,
so
yeah?
You could just go right to them. Yeah. For example, Kiss Cam.
Mm-hmm.
They'd be looking for couples that they're going to feature on the Kiss Cam. And they don't want to be scouring the audience trying to find, oh, that's a kid. That's not right. Whatever. They would save like preset locations of the camera and where people are sitting so they could just go from one to the next to the next to the next.
I'm always trying to get on that damn Kiss Cam. I'm not getting chosen.
Yeah, yeah. Did you have a bit you were going to do if you got on the Kiss Cam?
We're always ready to go.
Just a kiss, though, eh? You're not going to do like a whole, like, you kiss and then you slap him and do this whole show that some people do?
We'd do a dip or something. We'd make it a big kiss.
Yeah. Yeah, you love public displays of affection. Anyway, all that to say is there's in an arena or in a stadium, there's always people behind cameras that are looking for something to put up on either the TV screen or the Jumbotron. So that's what those people got caught. It wasn't because people 6 feet in front of them were like, oh my God, they're having sex behind us and everyone was watching them, you know? Anyway, yeah. I went, yeah, because like if what Bundus was doing in his condo is no different than what someone could do in that hotel room.
Yeah.
But that definitely illegal in Rogers Center. I know that.
Yeah, I guess it's
condo
his
building
home.
Gray area,
it's
right?
It's his private residence. He can do what he wants.
But if you don't take any precautions to, I mean, the lights would be out. No,
sometimes I leave them on.
Oh, geez,
I like to see what I'm doing.
Imagine he has like stage lights. Hold on one second. Yeah. Bed illuminates with a spotlight. Oh,
and then he opens the curtains.
Yeah,
you know, when it's showtime.
Wow.
Have you, in that condo building, did you ever see other people naked? Like, did you ever come across that scenario?
No, not really. I wish I did, but I never did.
Yeah, it doesn't happen often. I lived in the place for almost a year, and it happened once.
Mm-hmm.
You hear people tell stories, and they'll be like, nah.
Didn't you see some people twerking in the pool?
Yeah,
what?
I saw some girls that were putting on a show in the hot tub.
In the hot tub, they were doing handstands and twerking.
I was two floors up from another rooftop level, and that rooftop had a pool and a hot tub.
Mm-hmm.
And they were shooting a video or FaceTiming someone, and they were putting on quite a show.
Mm-hmm.
My brother was over. I think we'd either just come from a Jays game or something because he was right down the street, or we were doing something. And then we were like, oh my God, look at that. It was
crazy. Did you
guys
hit the hot tub instead?
No, we didn't.
Come down. Hey, ladies, how's it going?
Hey, I noticed that you were filming. You want someone to hold the camera? Could you imagine? No. We're both married guys. We were just like, wow. And then he's like, does that happen a lot? I'm like, never before this. I don't know what they were doing, but they were putting on a show for somebody.
It's a vibe down at that pool.
I want to know who's on the other end of that video. Mm-hmm. Or maybe it was just they were shooting a video that they were going to post, or who knows. Anyway, I don't know. What are you going to do? Not look at that? In that situation?
No, you definitely look. It's just,
it's
just, you know.
Don't be creepy about it.
Yeah, don't pull the binoculars.
Yeah.
I wonder if the binoculars actually did come out for that moment. All right, well, appreciate you checking out the podcast. As always, you know, you can listen to our radio show, too. We do it every weekday morning from 5:30 until 10 a.m. on 102.1 The Edge in Toronto. And then we have an evening show in Vancouver.
Yeah.
On the world famous Sea Fox from 6 p.m. until 8 p.m.
Check it out.
Truth be told, it's a lot of the stuff from our morning show in Toronto, but Radio Player Canada, you can just stream us even if you're not in any of the local markets
mm-hmm.
that we do our show in. Anyway, thanks for checking us out.
Hi, it's Shauna, and I might be a bad parent because my kids think french fries are vegetables.
Hey, it's Ryan, and I might be a bad parent because I went out for wings when my wife was in the hospital after giving birth.
Johnny here. I might be a bad parent because in my house, the tooth fairy gives pocket change.
But we're not alone. Len emailed us and said his six-year-old daughter's Tarzan moment going from love seat to lazy boy by curtains made him more proud than any dance recital.
And Andy left his two-year-old at the rink.
All right, guys, I'm sure we're not alone. Like Andy's kid.
For stories and confessions like this, make sure you check out our podcast.
It's called Bad Parents, and it's available wherever you get your podcasts.
I left a glove at the rink.